Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we're gonna be looking at something a little bit different for Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Yeah. We're gonna be diving into an article. It's from a group called the Church of Tinkerbell.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they have a very unique take on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
It's not your typical Valentine's Day message.
So not the usual chocolates and roses.
No. This is something else entirely. They've set their Valentine's Day celebration in Neverland.
Neverland. Wow. Okay, that's certainly a creative choice.
Yeah, and they're not focusing on romantic love. They've broadened the scope to encompass all forms of love.
All forms of love.
Yeah, friendship, family, self-love, even love for our free friends.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What do you think is the reasoning behind using Neverland as the setting?
That's a great question. I think Neverland, with its themes of eternal youth and, you know, boundless imagination, it's often associated with a kind of innocence and acceptance.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's a place where societal norms and constraints kind of melt away.
Right.
Making it the perfect backdrop for a message about embracing all forms of love without fear or judgment.
Absolutely. It's like they're using this fantastical setting to tap into a deeper sense of openness and acceptance that we might have lost touch with, you know, in the grown-up world.
Exactly. And by placing these diverse expressions of love within, you know, this familiar and beloved story, they're making the message more accessible and relatable. It's a way of gently challenging our preconceived notions about love and inviting us to consider a more expansive view.
Mm. That's a really insightful observation.
And they're not shying away from inclusivity either. The article specifically mentions the Lost Boys, Girls, and MBs celebrating together.
Oh, wow.
I thought that detail was particularly striking.
Yeah. What do you think is the significance of that inclusion?
Well, I think the inclusion of MBs, which refers to non-binary individuals, is a powerful statement about the evolving understanding of gender identity and the importance of recognizing and celebrating all gender expressions.
Absolutely. It's a way of saying that love and belonging should not be limited by traditional gender norms, and that everyone, regardless of how they identify, deserves to feel loved and accepted.
It's definitely a bold move, considering that this article is presented within the context of this fictional world.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, is this simply a whimsical take on Valentine's Day? Or is there a deeper message here about challenging societal norms and advocating for a more inclusive world?
I think it's both. The article masterfully blends fantasy and reality, using Neverland as a springboard to spark conversations about love, acceptance, and inclusivity in the real world.
It's like they're saying, look, if we can imagine this level of acceptance in a fantastical place like Neverland, then surely we can strive for it in our own lives and communities.
Precisely. And they're not just presenting an idealistic vision, they're offering a call to action. Remember those key phrases from the article, like love is love and every heart is free to love without fear.
Yeah.
These aren't just whimsical sayings, they're invitations to embrace a more inclusive and compassionate way of being.
I'm really struck by the idea of love without fear.
Yeah.
It seems like such a simple concept. But it's actually quite profound.
It is.
Think about it. How often do we hold back from expressing love or accepting love because of fear? Fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of not fitting into societal expectations.
Yeah.
The article encourages us to let go of those fears and embrace love in all its messy, beautiful, and diverse forms.
And that really resonates with me. It makes me think about how even in today's world, there are still so many people who face discrimination and prejudice simply for who they are or who they love.
You're right. And that's why messages like the one presented in this article are so important.
Mm-hmm.
They serve as reminders that everyone deserves to feel loved and accepted.
Yes.
Regardless of their background, beliefs, or identity. Mm-hmm. And they challenge us to examine our own biases and work towards creating a more inclusive and equitable society where love truly can flourish without fear.
Absolutely. I'm curious to hear more about how they depict this love without fear in Neverland. What are some of the specific ways they showcase this concept?
Well, one of the most captivating details in the article is how they portray the characters expressing love for each other.
Okay.
It's not just about romantic gestures or grand declarations of love.
Right.
It's about these small, everyday acts of kindness and understanding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Peter Pan making sure that the Lost Boys feel safe and valued, Tinkerbell using her magic to spread joy and laughter, Wendy offering comfort and compassion to those who are hurting.
Yeah, and even Nana the dog showing unwavering loyalty and affection.
Ah.
There's this beautiful scene where they all gather and make wishes for each other's happiness and well-being.
Hmm.
And it's not just about their own little community in Neverland. They explicitly wish for love and acceptance for everyone, everywhere.
That's beautiful.
That really struck a chord with me.
It's a powerful testament to the boundless nature of love. They're not limiting their compassion to just those in their immediate circle. They're extending it outwards, encompassing all of humanity in their wishes for a more loving and accepting world.
It's like they're sending out a ripple of love from Neverland, hoping it reaches every corner of the real world.
I love that imagery. You know, it makes me think about the role of imagination and storytelling in promoting social change. This article, by using a fantastical narrative, manages to convey some really complex and sensitive ideas in a way that feels both heartwarming and thought-provoking.
It's definitely making me rethink my own approach to Valentine's Day. I'm starting to see it less as a day for romantic love and more as an opportunity to celebrate all the different forms of love that enrich our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how do we take this beautiful message from Neverland and translate it into something tangible in our own lives? How do we cultivate this love without fear in a world that can sometimes feel so divided and cynical?
That's a great question. And I think the article provides some clues. Remember, they talk about showing kindness to the lonely, understanding to the misunderstood, and acceptance to those whose hearts beat differently.
I'm eager to hear more about how we can put those ideas into practice.
Well, let's delve into that in the next part of our deep dive. I think you'll find that the article offers some surprisingly practical advice for bringing a bit of that Neverland magic into our everyday lives.
So how can we actually put these ideas into practice?
Mm.
Bring some of that Neverland magic into our everyday lives.
Well, it's interesting because the article doesn't present this as, some impossible dream.
Right.
Instead, they really focus on small everyday acts of love and kindness. They talk about, showing kindness to the lonely, understanding to the misunderstood, and acceptance to those whose hearts beat differently.
I see. So it's like a reminder that we don't have to wait for some big change to happen to start spreading love and acceptance. We can just do it right now.
Exactly. And it really doesn't have to be anything huge or elaborate.
Right.
Sometimes those small, simple gestures can have the biggest impact.
Like what kinds of things are we talking about?
Well, think about it. A listening ear, a kind word, a moment of understanding. These are all ways that we can show love without fear.
I like that it kind of takes the pressure off a little bit.
It does.
It's not about needing to make this grand gesture.
Right.
It's just about being present.
Right.
Being mindful and open to connecting with others.
Mm, absolutely. And it's about recognizing that love comes in so many forms. The article celebrates the diversity of love, from that playful camaraderie of the Lost Boys to the quiet devotion of Nana the dog.
Yeah. And that actually reminds me, the article specifically mentions NBs along with the Lost Boys and Girls.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that inclusion?
I think it's incredibly significant. By explicitly including non-binary individuals in their picture of Neverland, they're challenging those traditional gender norms.
Right.
And promoting a more inclusive understanding of love and belonging.
So it's really about saying that everyone deserves to feel loved and celebrated, no matter their gender identity.
Exactly. And it's not just about romantic love either. They're talking about embracing all those different forms of love and connection.
Right, like platonic love, family love, self-love.
Yeah, all the ways that we experience and express connection and affection.
I think it's really interesting how they're highlighting that love isn't one size fits all.
Right.
It's more like a tapestry.
Yeah, I love that.
Of all these different threads that are all unique and beautiful in their own way.
Exactly.
As we're talking about this, it's making me think back to when I was a kid and how much I loved the story of Peter Pan.
Mm.
It was always like this magical escape for me, a place where anything was possible.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why this article is really speaking to me. It's tapping into that childlike sense of wonder and reminding me that, maybe we really can create a bit of that Neverland magic in the real world.
That's beautiful. And I think you've hit on something really important. Their choice of Neverland as the setting.
Yeah.
It's not just a random detail. It's intentional. They're trying to tap into that nostalgia for childhood.
Okay.
And that simplicity of, those early beliefs about love and acceptance.
I'm starting to see that now. They're kind of inviting us to reconnect with that sense of openness and possibility that maybe we've lost touch with as we got older.
Right, and reminding us that love at its core, it's really about connection, compassion, and a willingness to see the good in others.
Yeah.
It's about celebrating our differences and realizing that all our unique perspectives and experiences that make the world a richer and more vibrant place.
So they're really saying, hey, remember when you were a kid and thought anything was possible? Mm-hmm. Remember when you weren't afraid to be yourself and love wholeheartedly? Well, guess what? You still can. You can still choose to see the world with that same love and acceptance. You can still choose to believe in kindness and connection.
That's a beautiful way to put it, and it's a powerful reminder that we actually have more power than we think.
Okay.
We can focus on the things that divide us, or we can focus on what brings us together.
Right.
We can perpetuate fear and judgment, or we can choose to spread love and acceptance.
So then the question becomes, how do we actually make that choice? How do we cultivate that love without fear in a world that can feel so overwhelming?
Well, one way is to start small. Look for those everyday opportunities to practice kindness and compassion.
Like what?
Well, it could be something as simple as, you know, offering a genuine compliment to a stranger.
Uh-huh.
Or reaching out to a friend who's going through a hard time.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe something a bit more intentional, like volunteering your time for a cause that you care about or speaking out against injustice.
And I think it's also important to, you know, set boundaries.
Yes.
And protect our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Loving without fear doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the article subtly touches on that when they talk about every heart being free to love without fear. It's not just about loving others. It's about loving ourselves enough to have those healthy boundaries.
Right. So we can create a space where we can really thrive.
Exactly. And that self-love is the foundation for all other love.
Yeah.
You know, when we can love and accept ourselves,
yeah,
we're better able to love and accept others.
So it all comes back to love without fear.
Yeah.
But how do we actually put it into action? How do we make it real?
Well, one way is to just be more mindful of our thoughts and our actions.
Yeah.
You know, are we approaching others with judgment or curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Are we spreading negativity or positivity?
Okay.
Are we contributing to fear or to love?
So it's like we have to become more aware of the energy we're putting out into the world.
Exactly. It's about making those small everyday choices that reflect, you know, a commitment to love, kindness, and compassion.
Okay.
It's about choosing to see the good in others, even when it's hard. It's about choosing to forgive, even when we've been hurt. And it's about choosing to believe that a more loving and accepting world is possible, even when we see so much that tells us otherwise.
It sounds like cultivating this love without fear is a journey, you know, not a destination.
You know, that actually makes me think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and how safety and belonging are so essential for those higher forms of love.
Interesting. I've never thought of it like that before.
Well, think about it. If we don't feel safe and secure,
yeah,
if we don't feel like we belong, then it's so much harder to open our hearts to love, you know, both for ourselves and for others.
So to create a world where love without fear can really exist, we need to take care of those basic needs first.
Exactly. It's about building that foundation of trust and understanding.
Right.
And that starts with each of us. It starts with those choices that we make every day, the words we speak, the actions we take. You know, it starts with recognizing that we're all connected and that each person's well-being is tied to the well-being of everyone else.
It's a reminder that we're all in this together.
We are. And the more we can embrace that share of humanity, the closer we'll get to creating a world where love truly can flourish without fear.
Wow. You know, I have to say, this whole conversation has really changed how I think about Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it less as, you know, just a day for romantic love,
mm-hmm,
and more like a celebration of all the different kinds of love in our lives.
That's wonderful. And you know, that's really what this article is all about. It's saying that love has so many sides to it and we shouldn't limit ourselves to just one way of seeing it.
Right. It's like they're saying, hey, let's open our minds to what love can really be.
Yeah.
You know, it can be joking around with your friends, the support you get from your family, taking care of yourself,
mm-hmm,
or even the unconditional love you get from a pet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when we embrace all of that, you know, all those different ways of experiencing love, it opens us up to a whole world of connection. And we start to see the love that's already all around us and we can choose to celebrate it.
You know, something that really stuck with me from the article is this idea of love without fear. It sounds so simple, but it's like actually putting it into practice is hard.
Yeah.
How do we let go of all that fear that's holding us back from really loving?
That's a great question. I think it starts with looking inside and figuring out what those fears are for you.
Yeah.
What's holding you back? Is it being scared of rejection or judgment? Maybe being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Once you know what those fears are, you can start to challenge them.
So it's about being aware of the stories we tell ourselves about love.
Exactly. You have to ask yourself, are these stories helping me or are they holding me back? Are they based on things that happened in the past that maybe don't even matter anymore?
Mm.
It's about questioning those beliefs and making new stories for yourself, ones that match the kind of love you really want.
That's really powerful. Yeah. Like, we can take control of our own love stories.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's not always going to be easy, right? There will be times when we mess up, we get hurt. Those old fears come back.
Of course, love isn't a straight line. It's a journey. And there will be bumps along the way. But the important thing is to keep going, keep learning, keep choosing love, even when it's tough.
It makes me think about how important it is to be resilient in love.
Hmm.
You know, to bounce back from those hard times. How can we be more resilient when it comes to love and relationships?
I think it starts with being kind to yourself.
Mm.
You know, when we make mistakes, when we get hurt, it's so easy to blame ourselves.
Yeah.
But that just keeps us stuck in that cycle of fear and self-doubt. Instead, try to be understanding with yourself.
It's like we're talking about giving ourselves that same love without fear.
Exactly. We need to be our own cheerleaders, our own safe space.
Mm.
When we can give ourselves that kind of unconditional love and support, we're much better prepared for the ups and downs of love and relationships.
It's about building up that strong love for ourselves.
Right.
So that we can be whole and true to ourselves when we're with other people.
Exactly.
But, you know, I also have to think about those bigger things that stop people from having love without fear. You know, things like discrimination, prejudice,
right.
All that injustice. It creates a world where love doesn't feel like something everyone has. It feels like a privilege.
That's such an important point. We can't talk about loving without fear, without talking about all the things in our world that make it impossible for so many people to love freely and openly. We have to understand that love is connected to social justice and work to create a world where everyone can love and be loved without being persecuted or judged.
It's about tearing down those systems of oppression and building a world that's fairer for everyone.
Exactly. And that's something we all have to work on together. It means each of us looking at our own biases, speaking out against injustice, supporting those groups and people who are fighting for a more loving and inclusive world.
So it's a reminder that love isn't just something we feel inside. It can be a force for change in the world.
Absolutely. And the more we understand that power, the closer we'll be to a world where everyone can experience the joy and freedom of loving without fear.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive into the Church of Tinkerbell's take on Valentine's Day, I feel really hopeful and inspired.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a great reminder that love can make a real difference and that we all have a part to play in creating a more loving and accepting world.
Couldn't agree more. It's been a really amazing conversation, and I hope everyone listening will take these ideas and use them to create more love and connection in their own lives.
And we'll leave you with this. What would it look like to bring a little bit of that Neverland magic into your life? How can you choose to love without fear, starting today? Until next time, deep divers keep diving deep and keeps spreading the love.